The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Spot rare wildlife, explore the forest, and have endless adventures together.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Thursday morning, the 22nd of June 2023 at 9:05. We are delighted to have your company on what is yet another beautiful morning in Dublin, Ireland. And sometimes I have to stop myself and say, you know, someday in the not too distant future, actually the very distant future, it's going to be wet and miserable and cold and bitter. And we've got to get ahead of that and enjoy the now. I might set up a wellness app. Just enjoy the now. The sunshine. Where would you get it? Here. Here, as my brother says, it's here. Stop asking qualifying questions. Enjoy. Buy the ice cream. I know I posted something on Instagram. I'm eating an ice burger. And it was an American person, I think, sent a message in going, did you say ice burger? And I thought, oh God, she must be very confused, expecting a brioche with three cubes of ice. And I said, no, it's a thing. Imagine trying to explain that or a wibbly wobbly wonder or some sort of ice cream names, because they're very strange. Some, of course, have moved on or banned, and now we've got just straightforward. But I like a classic one, I have to say. Magnums are great, but I do like an old sloppy, ye-olde loop-the-loop. Nothing wrong with it. Anyway, that's not what's on my mind. I have lots of things on my mind today, and I'm delighted to tell you that Colm Meaney, who I meet regularly, and when I say meet on the circuit here on radio or on TV, is joining us. But he is not alone. He has brought his co-pilot and co-star, his daughter Brenda, who I'm looking forward to meeting. They're going to star together. I'm really interested in that whole father-daughter dynamic and working together and on stage. What a difficult thing and an odd thing that's going to be. But they won't be the first to have ever done it. But certainly looking forward to seeing them both. They're standing by. They'll join us in a few minutes' time. So if you have a question for Colm or indeed Brenda, do text it in to 51551 or email ryan@rte.ie. My friend of mine's on holidaying in Italy, and Dermot, my friend, sent me a photograph of two red Vespas and said, are one of these yours? They're not. Neither of them. And then a listener, Annette, sent us a photograph from her holidays. I often find it very endearing when listeners who are trying to enjoy a week away from us still get involved with us and saying things like, here's a bookshop I think you might like, or this reminded me of you. And I think that's really, really thoughtful. It feels like I'm getting a postcard from one of the fellow club members here that listens in the morning. So thank you, Annette. She says, saw this parked outside our hotel and thought you might be here. Sure enough, it's a red Vespa. If I'm looking for anonymity and to turn the dial down on the limelight, I think that red Vespa is not the way to go. But I will eventually get it. I was dealing with some people behind the scenes. The red Vespa is in storage because it had to be imported from the UK, if you really want to know the details. And then I have to make an appointment with the NCT people, hopefully go and see them. And then they bring the bike up and they do all the paperwork someday in Ballymount in the next week or so, or 2 weeks. And then it's mine. And that's when, and as soon as I have it, I'll tell you all about it. And sure enough, it'll be ready to go. And it's electric, which I think is really interesting because I own an old one, but it's like, as I said to you before, it's like the lawnmower with the saddle. Whereas this one will just have a little hum. Talking icebergs, Sicily do these. It's an ice cream brioche. Oh, that's okay. But that's actually ice cream. That's not cubes of ice. Okay. Yeah. I still think we do it better with the two wafers and a slice of. I actually want one of those immediately, and also a Coke float, another classic, which is very nice, very tasty. I'd like one of those now as well. The New York Times are writing today, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a very long article, but I'll just send you towards it. It's the headline I like: "Let kids get bored; it's good for them." So when the kid says, "I'm bored," you have to say, "Good. Now do something with it," rather than going, oh my God, what am I going to do? Let me get in the car. Let's find somewhere for you to go and something for you to do. No, let them find their own way. The thesis generally goes, only boring people get bored. And that's really about nurturing curiosity. I always say to kids, and it's kind of boring if you've got a book in your hand, you never be bored. Or if you like books, you never be bored. And but what if you're not a reader? Well, then you could just use your imagination for other things. And it's about creating space and encouragement for children just to use their imagination. There is a kind of a cultural stigma attached to boredom, according to this piece this morning. And one of the experts says that guarding kids from ever feeling bored is misguided, in the same way that guarding kids from ever feeling sad or frustrated or angry is misguided. So if they feel any of those emotions, you hardly say, oh, stop doing that immediately, let's fix it. Equally with the boredom, let them go off and, you know, play outside and create their own magic rather than you having to feel constantly at their beck and call. I like that. Let kids get bored. It's good for them. Good for their imagination. Where are we now? A major UK website has hailed a Galway hotel, calling it the best for scenic views in a list of the country's best spots to stay. And they're going with the Ballinahinch Castle Hotel. It's beautiful. It's out near Recess there in the west of Ireland. And they describe its fairy tale like grounds once enjoyed by real life royalty. That's a really remarkable story. His Highness the Maharaja Jam Sahib of Nawanagar was a regular there. That story, I'm not that familiar with. I know I have a book, Gathering Dust at Home, on that story, about that very story. I must check it out. Inside, there are smouldering turf fires where you can cozy up with a G&T. And the restaurant is led by one of the best chefs in Ireland, called Danny Barry. And on it goes. And other hotels listed in the include Ashford Castle in Cong, of course, which was listed as the most romantic spot, with the website labelling it best hotel for couples. So, West is best again this week. But what about cities? The most livable cities for 2023 have been named. And this includes healthcare, education, stability, infrastructure and environment. And number one on the most livable city in the world, Vienna, comes out top. Again, not for the first time. Never been to Vienna. Nearly went to Vienna. That's a strange thing. Nearly did. Believe it's beautiful. And then Copenhagen. I've never been to Copenhagen, but there you are. That's number two. Beautiful, livable city. And then you're into Canada. Never been to Canada. So I can confirm nothing on this list other than to say that it's written here in front of me. That's Calgary, Vancouver, Toronto, all featuring on these beautiful cities. And then you're into Zurich and Geneva, taking top spots in the top 10 list. And of course, Switzerland, very beautiful. All those cities, gorgeous. Tennis season is upon us now in terms of the Wimbledon and the excitement of that. And there's a movie out starring Zendaya, who is probably one of the most beautiful women in the world at the moment, in terms of Hollywood and in-demand actresses. And she is playing a tennis player in this. They forced me to watch the trailer this morning. And sure enough, they're saying she can play tennis. And she did a lot of training to play tennis for this. So it's fairly hot under the collar stuff. And it's made by the same guy who did Call Me By Your Name, which, as you know, if you haven't seen it, it's all that. There's a lot of sunshine and, yeah. I don't need to get into it. You know what I'm saying. But the film is called Challengers. And it does look very, very good. It features Zendaya as a tennis player turned coach who has taken her husband and transformed him into a world famous Grand Slam champion. But they go back then during a losing streak. She signs him up to play a low-level challenger event. And that's where they run into Patrick, who's played by Josh O'Connor, who played Prince Charles in The Crown, unrecognisable in the trailer. And she's Art's former best friend. And in fact, I've lost the plot completely. Basically, it's the trouble. And that's what happens. Okay, sorry, you know. And it involves a tennis trouble, if you will. And it looks quite good as a film. Anger at Murray's All England artwork snub. Wimbledon chiefs have angered members of the Murray family after releasing a piece of promotional artwork that does not include Andy among the 15 players illustrated. Now, you can look up the artwork if you want. It's a strange one. It features some of the best players in the world as though they're in a kind of a holding area before they go out onto the court, and they're high-fiving each other or saying hello to each other, depending on what era they're from. So there's Bjorn Borg chatting with John McEnroe in one piece. It's not a bad old spot, but they're all saying, where is Andy Murray? And that is the question that doesn't bother me for one moment, but will bother all the members of the All England Tennis Court Club probably for the next 2 weeks, if not 8 years, until they get a tin of paint out and put him in, and then they'll all be happy. That's what's going to happen. EastEnders fans gobsmacked as Cindy Beale returns from the dead after 25 years. Not one word of that means one word to me, but I do know that EastEnders fans will be going, what? So I'm going to give you that this morning. You're welcome. And we move on to... I did that talk last week in the Docu Book Festival. Peter Frankopan. It turns out he's a really lovely fella. We were talking about the subject, why history matters. And it was Roy Foster and Neisha McSween. Turned out they were three really pleasant people, really smart, but good fun. And Peter Frankopan's book, Silk Roads, which I haven't had the opportunity to read. It's about 10,000 pages long and very, very, very smart book, obviously. And it was number one for about 10 weeks in the Sunday Times bestseller list or what have you. And then he had another book out. And I said to him, and I see your, and I was kind of going through his introduction. I said, your other book was, it did very well. It was number two for a long. I said, I'm not going to say number two. It just feels a bit odd. I think I'm just going to call it a bestseller when I'm in. He goes, well, I don't mind really, but he said, what really bothers me about that number two? Yes, it was kept off the top spot by a book about air fryers. I said, air fryers? He said, yes. He said, I wouldn't mind. But then the air fryer man brought out another book and bumped me down to three. I said, air fryers? Yes, number one and number two. Knocking off your 600-page tome on the Silk Roads. Yes. And the history of mankind and humanity. Yes. So the great British public decided that air fryers were not only more important than your book about the civilization of the world, but twice deciding that it was more interesting than your history of civilization and the world. I still don't know what an air fryer is. Do you remember the ad? I don't know what a tracker mortgage is. I don't know what an air fryer is. But everyone around me does. Everyone around me sings their praises. They get about 3.5 seconds into a description of it before I shut them down and say, please don't talk to me about your, I don't care. You can cook anything in a turkey, a pheasant, a robin, you know, anything. Don't cook a robin in there. Priscilla, of course, Priscilla Presley wrote a book some time ago called Elvis and Me, biography or autobiography. And Sofia Coppola has made a film about it called Priscilla. I looked at the trailer for that this morning. I don't know any of the actors in it. It looks very stylish. And then I said, was it not all a bit problematic, Elvis and Priscilla at one point? But look, we'll keep going for the moment. The Oppenheimer film, which I seem to be reading about constantly, starring Cillian Murphy, there's such a very strong buzz about this film and a very strong buzz about Cillian Murphy and his role and acting chops in this film. I'm going to say it without even seeing the film, I reckon we're into Oscar territory here. You heard it here first, the 22nd of June, 2023. This could be a moment for Ireland. And for Cillian. So good on him. And the historian who wrote the book on which the film was based, which was called American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer, the historian Kai Bird is his name, he watched the film and said, I am stunned and emotionally recovering from having seen it. He was so taken aback and says he describes it as a stunning artistic achievement. And I have hopes it will actually stimulate a national, even global conversation about the issues that Oppenheimer was desperate to speak out about how to live in the atomic age, how to live with the bomb, and about McCarthyism, and what it means to be a patriot, and what is the role for a scientist in a society drenched with technology and science to speak about public issues. So that film is certainly going to be of enormous interest to everyone, including myself. Succession star, those of you who watched Succession will know Siobhan, and her name in real life is Sarah Snook, and she will play 26 different characters in a one-woman interpretation of The Picture of Dorian Gray, the Oscar Wilde novel, which will be adapted in this strange way that they've run it in Australia, not with her, with somebody else, and the reviews were startling, and it sounds like it's going to be very interesting at the Theatre Royal Haymarket for 12 weeks starting in January 23rd, and it will employ a collection of on-stage cameras and video screens
which help bring the characters to life. So they'll use Snapchat filters and selfie-style shots, drawing heavily parallels to the impossible beauty standards of social media influencers, and how this curated identity can be painted, can be the painted rust concealing psychological trauma beneath. It's pretty heavy, but sounds like a really interesting way of doing it. I remember going to see Andrew Scott playing Hamlet in the West End, and it was done with screens, and it was like a Sky News reporting on the Prince, and it was tremendous. A long play, but worth it.
Okay, text 51551. Dave says, yep, we need to enjoy the sunshine. The rain will be back the day you get on the Vespa. Okay, so you're tying the two together, my happiness and your sadness. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Iceberger, my granddaughter, Serena Phelan, in Gorey, County Wexford, when she was 4 years of age, gave the best description when she asked for this after dinner one evening. I want an ice cream sandwich. It's not a bad description at all. Bored, if you cannot read, just write or doodle. It worked for Picasso, says another. Yeah, good point. And Susan in Waterville says, my late mother, Anne O'Donnell Bowman, was an elementary school librarian, and she used to say, only people with no imagination get bored. Yeah, and that is certainly a feeling about the place. On the most livable cities, Vienna, Copenhagen, Canada, Zurich, Geneva. Does most livable also mean a little boring? Well, it's only boring if you've got no imagination. See what I did there? Just linked the two. Okay. There's a great saying in praise of an essay called In Praise of Boredom by the poet Joseph Brodsky. I have not heard of that, but I will check it out. Greg is in Castle Bellingham. If I send my husband a text, I'm bored, it means I've just finished a wonderful book and I'm reaching for my next. That's pretty good. Pretty good. I was chain smoking books the other day. I finished one and literally picked another one up straight after it. And I thought, these are one of life's great privileges. Just picking. I've got about 8, if not 9, beside my bed, ready to go. And every now and again, I look at them and go, you. And then or sometimes with the new book, I'll pick out 3 or 4 and read the first 2 paragraphs of each one and see what one gets my attention most. And I'll go, right, we're in. Okay, let's do it. Okay, 51551 is the text number. As I say, Colm and Brenda Meaney standing by. So I'm looking forward to introducing them to you. But today we will start, where we go musically? We could go with the troll. They were trolling me. I cycled to work last week and I got mocked for it quite a lot. And then I came down to my wall of music choices here and I noticed somebody had put one on and just to mock me. So, well, I'll double down on the mockery.
The Ryan Tubridy Show.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely not doing that.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
Well, that's Queen and Bicycle Race. I went to see Superman, as I told you last week, at the National Concert Hall with the Irish Symphony Orchestra. Which means I'm going to have to watch Superman 2 this weekend, which is arguably better. I did love Terrence Stamp as one of the three head the balls who land on Earth and kneel before Zod. All that carry on. That's this weekend. Although I see they're showing Spectre. Did I mention that? I did. The James Bond film with the orchestra. Highly recommend it. Marion says, an air fryer. Everyone has to have one. Do you remember when everyone had to have a thing called a spiralizer? Where are they now? I have no idea what a spiralizer is. SodaStream, certainly. We lived on those for a long time in the 80s and thought we were very exotic. But always, always, always tasted lousy. I mean, you could always tell the difference between a flavoured fizzy water compared to a can of whatever you're having yourself. Regarding your Why History Matters talk, I've contributed to Peter Frankopan's second place now because I've just bought that air fryer book. Oh, for God's sake, Pauline, that's not... Well, look, enjoy it. Can't wait to go and see Oppenheimer and Cillian Murphy's performance, says Simon. Hopefully it'll show how the US getting atomic weapons have made them a scourge on this planet. We're referring to the weapons, no doubt. My first job in HB in the 70s was putting the biscuits in the Iceberger machine. I would love to see how that's done. And thank you, Rose. Nice memory. And Jay in Kildare says, we have an air fryer. Utterly pointless. We already have a fan oven, a microwave that also works as an oven and a grill, a George Foreman grill and a slow cooker. But apparently we needed the air fryer. Well, I see you've emphasised the we. We needed the air. Do you know what? I can hear that row. I can hear the rain. You also need everything. You've got one of everything that's kind of fad. We need that. We must get that. So, yeah, you lost that row, clearly. What are we on? 9:27. Right, let's bring Colm and Brenda in after this.